Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
All right, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we are in the month of December. It's hard to believe. You say, don't rush it, because that means a lot more money will be spent. But Christmas will be right around the corner. So what we want to do over the next few Sundays is really kind of switch gears and kind of head in that direction as far as from a sermon perspective. But one of the thoughts that, especially during this time of year, is the fact that we live in a culture, and you've heard me say this a lot, but we live in a culture that tries their best to disprove that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Now, having said that, that's not unusual. It's been going on forever, if you will, that they've tried to deny that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord, that Jesus Christ indeed is the only Savior. What they often try to do is basically say that Jesus is just one of many Saviors. So you just kind of, you know, religious, you know, pick your choice, and whichever one you feel to be beneficial to you, then that's the Savior that you choose. But I want to go on record, and I want to make a statement standing upon the Word of God as I say this. Jesus Christ is not one of many. He's one above all. He's not one of many. He's one above all. Jesus Christ is the only Savior that this world has hope he's the only Savior this world needs. He's the only Savior that, let me make it personal, He's the only Savior that you need. Let me also make this statement. You can't save yourself. Amen? You and I cannot save ourselves. We're not good enough. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. I'm a good person. And that may be true as far as what the world sees you and how the world recognizes you, that you're a good, moral, upstanding person. You're a law-abiding citizen, unless you get on 696. But you're a law-abiding citizen to a certain... Amen? Might as well... We repented of the gluttony. Now we're going to go in the laws of the Lamb. We'll leave that alone. If it gets too close to my sins, I kind of go away from them. Amen. But Jesus Christ, He's not one of many. He's one above all. And because He's one above all, it would do all of us, really sincerely, it would do all of us, it would do us well, it would do us good to kind of look in to who Jesus really is. So with that said, 1 John chapter 1, in my estimation, is one of the greatest passages in all of the Bible to tell us indeed who Jesus is and what he had come to do and what He offers to you this morning. I'm going to give a message, a title. It's rather a lengthy title, but I hope you'll stay with me on this. Here it is. Jesus is Savior. How much more proof do you need? Jesus is Savior. How much more proof do you need? The Bible tells us here in 1 John chapter 1, if you found your place, in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word, please stand. Did you see what they did to me this morning? Look at the size of the cup of water that is. All right, let's give an invitation. No. You pick on the guy that gets your water, and then that's what happens to you. But 1 John chapter 1, and we'll start our reading in verse number 1. Now, who's writing this is John. He's also a man that wrote the book of Revelation. At this time in his life, he's probably in his early 90s. It's around 90 to 95 AD. And also keep in mind that John, this John that we're going to read about, who's writing this passage of Scripture, he has personally known the Lord Jesus for some 60 years. Isn't that amazing? I mean, go in your mind for a moment before we read this. Go back in your mind and kind of, and for those of us that are born again, and just remember what it was the day you got saved. You say, "Preacher, I don't remember the date." That's okay. I mean, as long as you have it, amen? You don't have to know who you were sitting next to or necessarily the date, but to just to know for sure that you've repented and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you've been born again. So if that's happened to you, thank God that that has. If that hasn't happened to you, it's okay, because before you leave this room this morning, I promise you, we'll give you an opportunity for you to get born again as well. So John, here he is, he's an elder statesman for the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says, John says, that which was from the beginning, and then notice what he says, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Our Father, Lord, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit indeed would be our teacher and our guide this morning. I pray, God, that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they would repent and they would call upon you in salvation, believing in your death, your burial, your resurrection. Because, Father, we indeed know on the authority of your word, you're not one of many, you're one above all. And God, you're Savior. And Father, you're the only one that can honestly, truly have that title. So, Father, we praise you this morning. May you bless the reading of your word. May you bless the time that we will spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus is Savior. How much more proof do you need? John forcefully asserts in his letter here, he absolutely, undeniably begins with bold proclamations of who Jesus is. If there's one thing I love about the Apostle John here, I love the fact that John isn't ashamed to have Jesus as his Savior. Now, you didn't hear me. The reason I said that is because we live in a culture that the average, I don't even know if you could call it average, because what I see in my Bible is a person that has truly been born again. It's an average thing. It's a normal thing for them to let a lost and dying world know that Jesus is their Savior and he's changed your life. That's normal behavior for a born-again believer. Can I get a witness? It's normal behavior. Someone also said, I think it was Dr. Ben Kateris, who made this statement. He said, evangelism isn't what we do. Evangelism is who we are. We go into a lost and dying world. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-saving, soul-saving message that Jesus, he's not one of many. And why we keep repeating that, not to be redundant, not to be repetitive, but we keep repeating that because, ladies and gentlemen, that is the average mindset of the average person in our world. That Jesus isn't one above all. He's just one of many ways to get to God when you die. There's a belief, there's some that believe that, you know, like the Greeks used to believe that God was somebody to be feared only because he wasn't a personal God who comes and saves you and borns you again and you have a relationship with. He was a God that was up on a mountain and determining whether or not he was in a good mood or a bad mood, determined how much he loved you or liked you that day. But I got news for you. He's not one of many, friend. He is a personal, loving Savior who died on the cross of Calvary, who was buried, who rose again 3 days later. And the great news is, if you're here and you've never trusted him as your Savior, he'll save you right now. Matter of fact, you don't even have to wait to the end of invitation to be saved this morning. You can get saved right now if you'll bow your heart and head before a holy God, acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner before God and you need God's forgiveness. He'll save you. He will born you again into his family, into his kingdom. Boy, amen? Now, what John does for us here in this passage is he begins to establish for us this simple principle that Jesus Christ, he is Savior. Here's the proof. So here he is, John, who knew Jesus. He's known Jesus for some 60 years of a lot of his life. So now he's going to give a testimony. There are some that think that John, of course, now bear in mind that he had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos after they had tried to kill him. So here he is. He's an older man. Some also believe that he had eventually was brought back from the Isle of Patmos. He later became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, where John has a deep burden for God's people. And he has a deep burden to let them know oh, just what kind of Savior that they have in Jesus. He's a personal Savior. So let me give you a few thoughts real quick. Let me give you a few thoughts around how much more proof do you need. Notice number one, His sovereign rule. We see Jesus in His sovereign rule in this passage. John's going to give us some thoughts around this aspect. The Bible tells us, John says, that which was from the beginning. Now, to the Jewish mind, now maybe a little different maybe in your mind, but to the Jewish mind, when they would have heard that phrase, that which is from the beginning, automatically, they would have known that that was a reference to Jehovah God. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So hold your place in 1 John. And go to the Gospel of John. You say, preacher, you're confusing me. Well, I will tell you this. If you're in Exodus, there's no hope for you. No, I'm just teasing. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. New Testament, not Old Testament, New Testament. So what did John say in 1 John? He said that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning. So he's establishing some thoughts here. He said that which was from the beginning in chapter 1 of 1 John. Now in the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning. So he's from the beginning. But oh, by the way, John says in his Gospel, Jesus was in the beginning. And oh, by the way, what happened in the beginning? The Bible says in Genesis. Hold your place in John's Gospel because I want to come right back there. Go to Genesis. Now, the good thing about Genesis, if you can find the first page that says Holy Bible, you turn a couple pages and you'll find Genesis, okay? So Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you're still on the cover, get past your bulletin where you put your bulletin in there. Maybe some other scrap pieces of paper. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, by the way, that one verse right, do you realize that one verse right there, if we will believe that, that absolutely dispels the lie of evolution. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So he says, in the beginning, God, Moses writes, you come back to John's Gospel, flip back. Verse 1 of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And oh, by the way, John says, and the Word was God, the Logos. The Word was God. Skip down to verse 14 of this same chapter, John's Gospel, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John. Verse 14. And the Word was, look at this, look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So John says in 1 John, that which was from the beginning. In the Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. In Genesis, Moses says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. John also says in verse 14 of the Gospel of John, that the Word, the Logos, what happened to the Word? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when you put all this together, what do you have? Jesus, who is God, became flesh. Right? God incarnate, the God-man. 100% God. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean. Well, we refer to it often as the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He is God in the flesh. If you take God, who's a spirit, and you put him in the form of a human body, you have none other than Jesus Christ, stay with me, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, 100% God. I'm thankful that he was, because he had the power and the authority and the ability to forgive me of my sins. 100% man, I'm grateful to God for that, because he was 100% man, he absolutely knows what you and I go through as a human being. Amen? He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So I'm grateful to God that he was both 100% God, but also 100% man. We see his sovereign rule. He was in the beginning. Jesus Christ has always been. young people. He's always been. You said, pray, explain to me, preacher, how Jesus came about. Let me give you a simple answer. He's always been. God has always been. So you say, yeah, but what else does John tell us? Well, go back to 1 John. Now I've got you totally confused with where you're at in the Bible. Here's what I learned. If you can't find your place in the Bible, just look up every now and then and say, amen, you know, amen. No, I'm just teasing. So 1 John, back to 1 John chapter 1. I was like, this doesn't make sense because I am in the Gospel of John. There's a big difference. 1 John chapter 1. So he said, that which was from the beginning. Now notice what he says. So he's not only talking about how Jesus is sovereign. He's the sovereign God. He rules and he reigns. He's always been. There never was a time that Jesus wasn't God, nor will there ever be a time that Jesus isn't God. He always has been God, and he always will be God. You can take that to the bank, brother. Now, so we see his sovereign rule, but notice this, John's going to let us in now to his personal relationship. So we see Jesus' sovereign rule, but now John's going to give us his personal relationship with this sovereign God. Notice our text. John picks up in verse number 1, he says, which we have heard. We heard him. John says, we heard him. He's kind of taking the senses of the human body, and he's going to expound on how powerful the senses are to establish that Jesus, indeed, he's real, he's Savior, he's sovereign, he is a life-changing God. And oh, by the way, John could say, I've known him for 60 years. You know what's amazing about knowing God for a long time, and many of you have. When I first got saved, 16 years old, many of you know my testimony, all I knew at that moment in my life was he was Savior. He saved me. He saved me. He what the Bible calls, he born me again unto his family and kingdom. He said, preach, I don't know if that's proper English. Well, that might not be proper English, but it's Bible theology. Amen? He born me again into his family and kingdom. So with that said, here's what I want to illustrate for a moment. So I got saved in 88. That was a little over 25 years ago. All I knew the day God saved me is that he was Savior. And by the way, friend, if all you know is he's Savior, that's pretty substantial. Amen? That's good news. That's wonderful news to know that he's your Savior. But you know what's been a phenomenal journey is as I've lived my Christian life from that birth, because that's how salvation starts, it's a birth. Amen? Stay with me. I got a little bit of water, but I'll preach an hour and a half. I can take a sip and it'll last a long time. But so it's a birth. Now, let me also dispel something. There are those who say, preacher, I've asked people, well, how long are you Christian? Sure, I'm a Christian. Well, how long have you been a born-again Christian? And they'll say something like this, all my life. Well, on the authority of the Bible, no, you have not. No, you have not. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. We're all God's children. No, we're not. Only those that have been born again are God's children. We're all God's creation. Can I get a witness? We're all God's creation. We're not accidents of evolution. We're all God's creation. Well, I have seen some baby pictures. Woo! There's some of you baby pictures. And I'm just telling you. They didn't say, B-O-B-I-O, whatever them hillbillies did when I was a kid. They would teach you your language. Something like that. But nobody in this room, but I've seen pictures. Okay. So if I didn't go back to the Bible by looking at some baby pictures, and by the way, the attitude that, and I know Dr. Danny Yule is a pediatrician in our room. Brother Danny, you ever seen some ugly babies? Don't answer that, Brother Dana. The attitude, all babies are pretty. There's some you're like, it ain't done. Put that thing under that light, amen. Let's bake it a little more. No, but the point is, I have no idea what the point is there. I love baby pictures. You say, preacher, you never mind. I'll leave it alone. I have no idea where I was going with that. Hang on a minute. Let me get this. Here's what you learn, especially young preacher here. Here's what you learn. When you get older, a little older, and you start preaching, you forget something, just keep preaching. It'll come back to you. Even if it's 45 minutes later, it will come back to you. So here's what I was going with this. So I got saved, 16. It was a birth. God born me again to his family and kingdom. All I knew at that moment was God saved me. But as I've lived the Christian life, and as the Lord Jesus has blessed, I mean, the Lord's blessed me, and I've tried to stay a student of the Word of God. I've tried to read my Bible. I've done the best that I possibly can? No, I'm not saying that. But I've tried to stay teachable. And by the way, that's a key. That's a critical component of growing in your relationship with Jesus, is staying teachable. So with that, here's the great news. I no longer just know that he's my Savior. Here's what I've learned over 25 years of having him as my Savior. Guess what I've learned? He's my friend. And oh, by the way, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've learned that he's coming through trials. I've learned, Brother Stephen, that he's the God of all comfort. Not just some storms. There's been many times in my relationship with Jesus since a 16-year-old kid to now some 41-year-old in the prime of my life. Did you hear that? Somebody choked to death over here when I said that. But I've learned also in 25 years, he's not only the God of all comfort, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's also God that calms storms in my life. But he's also a God that has promised. And I've learned this. I didn't know this right away when I got saved, but I've learned this as I've grown in the Lord. I've learned, and many of you have as well. He's as the Bible says, he's a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. You say, preacher, why are you saying all that? I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Because now, keep it in the context. I physically haven't seen him with my eyes. I'm not saying that. But John had. How much more proof do you need? I mean, I could testify and give testimony to the fact that Jesus will forgive you of your sins. He'll save you. He'll change your life. And why and how can I do that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's what he did for me. I was a kid, man. I was a kid who thought he knew everything. I was a kid who thought he had his life all planned out. You've heard my testimony. Not to bore you with that, but yes, I was going to be the next Porter Wagner. But I had my life all planned out, and I had my goals, and I had my ambitions in life. But here's what I've learned about my Lord. All the goals and all the ambitions I had before God saved me, guess what? I don't regret a minute of what Jesus has done in my life the last 25 years. Did he take me to Nashville? No. But you know what I'm grateful for? Please hear my heart. I'm grateful. I had somebody tell me at my church at First Baptist Alexandria, and I started singing in church right away, and I had a friend of mine say to me, she said, Tracy, why are you wasting your talent doing this? She said, you could probably go places. Let me just go on record. You young people, hear the heart of your preacher. Every song since I got saved, every song that I've ever sang in church, I've ever sang in a nursing home, I've ever sang in children's church for my Lord, has not been wasted. To know that you and I can sing for the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him and praise his holy name in song, it's a privilege. It's a joy and an honor. So John now is saying, listen, let me tell you about a Savior. Oh, by the way, I've known him for 60 years. John says, let me tell you about my personal relationship with Jesus. How much more proof do you need? I've shared a little of my testimony. And I pray that if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus, that maybe just a little bit of what Jesus did in my life. And I'm telling you, I don't have time to do this. But I'm telling you, I was a kid that you have no idea how backward I was. And honestly, truly, before God saved me, how shy of a kid that I was. Can you believe that? I was shy. I'm a 310-pound version of Toby Harold, man. There's no shyness in me. But God did all of that. God changed me. How much more proof do you need just in my life? But don't take my word for it. Take a 90 to 95-year-old servant of God who served Jesus for 60 years of his life. And John says, that which was from the beginning. I know the Jews that will read this and will hear this term. It is a reference indeed to Jehovah God. He's God in the flesh. John says, I've seen him. I've seen him with my own eyes. Look at what he says. He says, first of all, we've heard him. Now, what's phenomenal about this word heard, the verb indicates we've heard him. It's reference to an event that has happened, but it has continued. It continues. You heard him. John says, well, I heard him, but I still hear him. July the 6th, 1988, God saved me. God saved me, the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, just like we're sharing with you this morning, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Through the preaching of the gospel, I heard God speak to my heart and show me and tell me and show me that I was lost and I needed a Savior. I heard that. Did I hear it audibly? No, I heard it much louder than that. It's as if I was the only person in that room that morning. And God just honed in on me and says, Tracy, you need me more than your next breath. Oh, by the way, you do know that you do not get out of this world alive. I heard a statistic, true story, I heard a statistic just the other day, honest truth. Here's you can't say that four times in a row. The statistic is this. 9 out of 9 people die. Right? You're like, I hope I ain't one of those. I hope I'm the 10th one. Well, I think you could up that stat. That's how you do when you can't say the word a lot. 10 out of 10 die. So the point is, you're going to die, but I hope and pray that you die in Jesus Christ, because that's what John does. He's going to die in Jesus. God saved him. He changed his life some 60 years prior. And John says, hey, we heard him. But then notice something else. I mean, Jesus is Savior. How much more proof do you need? Here's a 90-year-old man saying, hey, I heard him. I heard him say things like, Lazarus, come forth. I heard him cry from the cross, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. John says, I heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I heard him. I heard him. I heard him. I heard him. But John says, I still hear him. Why? Because he's a personal Savior. He said, I heard him, but also saw him. He says that. Look at the text. Jesus, I tell you, friend, he's Savior. How much more proof do you need? So second of all, he said, I heard him. But then he says, which we have seen with our eyes. And oh, by the way, we've looked upon him. When John says we've seen him with our eyes, he understands that perhaps that's not even descriptive enough. He says, we not only saw him with our eyes, but we've looked upon him. Now, you ever see something? Maybe you're driving around, you look over and see something. You're like, oh, wow, I think that was this, or I think that was that. It's just kind of a glancing glaze. You're just driving along, oh, I think that was a deer. Or, you know, oh, that was this or that. Or is Joe Creek, zebra. I mean, there was a time Joe Creek saw zebras going across the road when he was driving one time. But I think he was hitting the sauce. But anyway, we'll leave it alone. John says, we saw him with our eyes. Oh, by the way, but you need to understand. When he says that we've looked upon, here's the picture in your mind. It's like maybe you're driving down the road. Oh, we saw him. But John says,
we looked upon him. It's not the glancing glaze. It's an intense, almost a stare. You ever had that happen? You ever think you see something, and all of a sudden you have to stop? Wait. Is that what I see? And you just intently, all of your focus, your eye, your focus is on that object. That's the imagery of this passage. John says, we've heard him. I've seen him. Oh, you didn't hear me. I've looked upon him. I've stared into his face. Jesus is Savior, folks. How much more proof do you need? John, this 90, perhaps 95-year-old man who has come through storms. I think some have said, I think I read this. It's been a long time since I read this, but I thought I've heard that to try to kill John, they boiled him in oil, but he didn't die. And they exiled him to Patmos. And now he's come from Patmos. He's now pastoring. But the point I'm trying to make is John says, I've served him 60 years of my life. And here's the consensus. Here's the verdict. He's real. He's Savior. He saved me, John says. He'll save you. John was a son of Zebedee. He was a man at one time that hated a certain group of people, a certain ethnicity, a certain nation. But after spending time with God, God changing his life, he wrote words about the love of God. He wrote words like in 1 John, and this was the love of God manifest. Word manifest means made visible. John says God is love, but in order to understand love, you can't take love and put it in a bottle, regardless of the perfume factories. You can't take love and put it in a bottle. No, love has to be made visible. Love has to be proven. And John says God proved his love in Jesus Christ. He made, and this was love manifest. Made manifest means made visible. God made his love visible in his son Jesus. And oh, by the way, that Jesus, I've heard him speak. That Jesus, I've seen him with my eyes. Oh, wait. I've stared at him. Intense yearning, intense staring at this Jesus. John says, I've heard him. Oh, by the way, if that doesn't answer your questions, look at the rest of the text. He said, not only have I seen him with my eyes, I've looked upon him. He says, our hands have handled. We've touched him. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Look at the text. Our hands have handled. Handled who, John? The word of life. Remember the context? Think with me for a moment. Our hands have touched. John, my hands have touched the God-man. I've touched the Savior. What an amazing thought. What an amazing picture in your mind, I hope. So here's the sermon. You that are here that do not know Jesus as your Savior, I ask you a sincere question. How much more proof do you need? What is keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ? Maybe if you'd be honest, maybe it's just simply the pleasures of the world. And I've talked to folks like that over the years. Say, preacher, I would give my life to Jesus, but I don't want Jesus messing up my fun. Well, as a 15-year-old kid, I used to think playing music in bars was fun. But you know what? When God saved me as a 16-year-old kid, I now truly, honestly, some 25 years later, can tell you what fun really is. Fun is serving Jesus Christ. The fun that we have doesn't require me taking medicine from a hangover tomorrow morning. Can I get a witness? the fun that we have lasts, and it lasts a lifetime. And John says, hey, Jesus is Savior. I've heard him. And by the way, everything that Jesus says is true. John could have said, I heard him say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John says, I've heard him say that. And oh, by the way, if John were here, and he's not, but if John could say it to us today in this room, John can say, when Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father but by Jesus, John could say, that's exactly right. You don't go to heaven by being a good person. You don't go to heaven. Stay with me. You don't go to heaven by giving your money to the church. You don't go to heaven by doing this or doing that. You go to heaven, John could say, only through a man by the name of Jesus, who I heard, who I saw, who I touched. I watched him die, John could say. They buried his body. But just as Jesus had told us, he rose again 3 days later. And sweet friend, on the authority of the Bible, and let history declare it as well, the only Savior to ever come out of the grave is Jesus Christ the Lord. Exclamation point. Jesus Christ, the Lord. John said, we heard him, we saw him, we gazed on him, we looked on him, we touched him. Oh, by the way, he's Savior, and there is none other. He's not one of many. The life, verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness in showing you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. John now switches and keeps it right in the context. He now goes into the subject of eternal life. How do you get eternal life? I told you 9 out of 9 will die. And the sad reality of that is this. The sad reality of that is for everybody in this room and everybody on the face of the planet who has ever lived. Death is not the end. Death is just the beginning. I mean, if you live to be 95 years old or older, that's a long time on this earth. But that's a speck in the dirt, friend. That's a grain of sand on a beach compared to what eternity is. Because you have a body, but more importantly, you are a soul. And that soul will live one of two places, a place called heaven or a place called hell. John declares to us, Jesus Christ, he's Savior. There is no God but Jesus. John says, in the beginning was the Word. He later says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word, that Jesus who I'm telling you, I heard him, I saw him, I intently gazed upon him. I touched him, and he was manifested. How? Why, John? To bring eternal life. You can have eternal life. You can live forever in heaven with Jesus if you'll trust him as your Savior.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harrell's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.